is Megan McCulloch, Research Manager at APQC. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to APQC Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're here with APQC's Principal Research Lead in Human Capital Management, Alyssa Tucker, to talk about painting a portrait of success in DEI. Welcome to the podcast, Alyssa.
Thank you, Megan. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to talk about successful DEI.
Wonderful. I can't wait to get painting the portrait today. So let's dig right in. So what would constitute a successful DEI program? What does that picture look like? What does that portrait look like of success?
What it looks like is employees, all employees, being able to bring their true selves to work. It looks like all different ways of working, being accepted and supporting within an organization. It looks like all employees having equitable access to leaders, to information. It's where an organization has fair and equitable processes for things like performance reviews and promotion decisions. It's an environment where all employees feel that it's safe to speak out if they witness bias or see inequities. So that's the portrait of what organizations are trying to work towards when we talk about, you know, the portrait of a successful DEI program. It's really that experience that employees have, but it's not easy. And we've done a lot of research into this. And in our research, we found that fewer of half the organizations that we have surveyed on DEI agree that all those, that portrait that I just described is representative of their organization. So what I'm saying is that most organizations, the majority of organizations, are not there yet when it comes to DEI. Just to call out a statistic that stood out for me is only 38% of DEI leaders that we surveyed, and we surveyed DEI leaders from across the globe, across industries, different organization sizes, only 38% of them said that their organization's employees could bring their authentic selves to work. So to me, that's very telling. There's a lot of work to be done to get to work.
Oh, for sure. And the portrait that you're painting for us is almost like this utopian environment, right? It's the Mona Lisa of DEI programs. But it sounds like a lot of us have kindergarten paintings hanging up as our DEI program, right? So how do we turn this kindergarten painting into the portrait, right? So I guess it first starts with the challenge. So do they not have the right tools? Do they not have the right paint? Are they coloring with crayons? Like, how do we get it turned into the Mona Lisa?
Exactly. And so I do want to say that that portrait, utopia, is a great way to describe it, because DEI within an organization is something you're always going to be striving for. So that is the utopia. And so it's okay that we're not all there. I mean, it'd be great if we were, but there's a lot of work that a lot of organizations need to do. And it's just not realistic that, you know, we're going to have progressed that far, unfortunately, at this point. And talking to DEI leaders about what their challenges are, you know, what keeps them from having maybe, I don't know, middle school portraits hanging on the wall. One is a lack of resources, just not having enough budget devoted to DEI. We found that only about a third of organizations in our survey said that they did have sufficient budget for DEI. So right there, that's a kind of a base important starting point, but it's not all about budget as well. One of the things that came across really strong in our research is the role of the chief diversity officer. So a lot of organizations in recent years have hired their first chief diversity officers, which is a great investment. You know, talking about money, that's a big investment and it's important. But what DEI leaders were telling us is often they were feeling burnt out. They were doing it alone, that all of the DEI issues were falling on their shoulders. And that's just not realistic. And to make things even more challenging, a lot of them, while they had the chief in their title, really didn't have the influence and the authority to really make meaningful changes in the organization. So if they were to see a process that was perpetuating inequities, they didn't necessarily have the authority or influence to do anything about that. That was a really big barrier that we heard. Another thing that just a big challenge really relates to employees. So organizations have been talking a lot about DEI these days and espousing their commitment to it. And employees, a lot of the time, are voicing that they don't see behaviors, reality matching up to the talk. And so employees are becoming jaded. And that's a really critical piece of information for going forward, because if employees aren't bought in, it's really hard. You know, it gets back to the chief diversity officer feeling like they're the only one bearing this burden of work. But to really get them out of that and to really move the needle on diversity, it really requires everyone to be involved. So those are some of the challenges, I think, that are kind of stalling maybe some of the progress that we could be making in organizations today.
So with those challenges, what are some steps that we can take or strategies? Like, how can we address those now or more strategically in the future to overcome that, to be able to start working on that utopian environment, right? To change our kindergarten drawing into an oil painting, just as an upgrade, or maybe use map colors. Like, just how do we upgrade our program to knock out a challenge? So how can we address that?
Sure. One thing is to do what we can to ensure that DEI isn't just a strategic initiative in our organization.
Oh, that's a good one.
Exactly. To really ensure that DEI is part of our mission, our values, that it's part of how we do business. So it is part of our business strategy year in and year out, giving it that kind of level of importance. And interviewing DEI leaders and writing case studies, we heard just about the importance of, you know, not just pursuing DEI in your strategy and your mission because it's good for the business, but really having a higher purpose with it as well, which is what's good for humans. It's what's good for humankind. And even related to that, we do see more organizations trying to ensure that their DEI efforts are aligned with their ESG, environmental, social, and governance efforts. And sometimes that can kind of elevate the importance of DEI in the eyes of others in the organization. So that's definitely one thing, is to really embed DEI in your reason for being in the business. You want to make it something that's not seen as discretionary, so that as we're seeing right now, many industries and organizations are finding themselves on tough economic times. You don't want DEI to be positioned in your organization as something that could be cut. It should be seen as not cuttable. Very much related to this, and going back to the role of the chief diversity officer, if they can be part of your C-suite so that they have that authority, you know, to actually make meaningful change in the organization, you know, it makes it more likely that not only that changes will be able to be made, but that DEI will not get cut, you know, when times get tough.
It's almost like DEI becomes one of your non-negotiable expenses. Right? It's something that never should get cut in your budget. It's not a line item that you can just remove, exactly. Right? It just needs to be part of your day-to-day business expenses.
That's it. It's just part of how you do business and why you do business. Exactly. Yeah. But as I said before, it's not all about money. Chief diversity officers need the support of the entire organization. And that doesn't always take hard dollars necessarily, but everybody needs to have DEI goals and needs to have an awareness of the journey that the organization is on towards DEI and what types of behaviors, what types of actions they can take to contribute. And, you know, just getting employees involved, especially those who've experienced bias and inequities, so that they're voices are being heard, that their experiences are being understood and being used to, you know, inform that journey, that roadmap for diversity at the organization. Those who have experienced bias and inequities, you know, should be very much involved in creating what that journey would be like for the organization.
And when you say employees, you mean every employee, right? From bottom up.
Exactly.
Everybody.
I mean, everybody for sure. And that's just something that came out in our research. It's just too big an issue for just the chief diversity officer role or even a diversity team to address. It just needs to be part of how you work day in and day out, regardless of what role you are in the organization. That said, the role of leaders as well as managers is very critical because they're role models. So they need to be role modeling the behaviors, role modeling what is considered important around DEI for the organization. So that's a critical piece. And so not only do you need to prepare all and provide training for all your employees to understand your DEI journey and to build those capabilities that they need to go on that journey with you, but if you can provide manager and senior leader specific training and awareness and guidance and support, that's going to have a multiplier effect, I guess, because they have so much influence on the organization and on all the employees in the organization.
You speak to, you know, having the entire organization, all the employees, you know, involved in, it makes me think of the word change agent, where you're kind of giving them, the entire organization, this change agent status to help you change the culture and change the way people think about DEI, right? Because it's not just that department or that,
right,
you know, chief development officer's role, but yet you're kind of bestowing upon them this ability to be a change agent themselves, right? Because without them, you wouldn't be able to move the needle forward, right? You wouldn't be able to complete that picture. And the more people you have working on it,
right,
the quicker results you can get, the quicker impact you'll see, right?
Yes.
And like on our previous episode talking about measurements, you'll start watching that needle move towards the direction you want to go, right?
Exactly.
Critical. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten people involved. How do we set an expectation, right? Like how things are changing. And sometimes it can take a while. We know it's going to take a while based on research, right? So
right,
how do we manage that expectation? What's involved in setting that goal? If it's not a strategic initiative, mm-hmm, but it is a strategy, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a one-time thing. So how do we manage this expectation and how it works? What does that look like in Utopia?
Yeah, what you do is manage that expectation because I think that that's what's not happening in a lot of organizations is just a disconnect between, we may know if we are researchers or if you're an expert in DEI, you may be aware of the fact that this is a journey that really probably never ends and that progress can be slow because you're trying to change processes, ways of working that have been in existence for a very long time. And that's not something that's quick and easy to do. But that doesn't mean that employees are as tuned into that, you know, as you may be. And so it's really important to be upfront and ongoing in your communications that DEI is an initiative, it's a journey that we're on, we're all on this journey. So set those expectations, but at the same time, do what you can to call out the incremental progress that you are making along the way, as well as maybe missteps, because employees need to see action. And even if the action isn't what you hoped for, it didn't result in what you wanted, to be able to articulate to employees what you've done and what worked, what didn't work, and what you've learned and how you're changing is really important for keeping them on the journey with you and keeping them engaged and motivated going forward. Because otherwise, you know, they may hear some very well-publicized commitments and they may hear about the DEI strategy at the beginning of the year, but if they're not regularly hearing about what's happening along the way, to them, it may look like nothing's happening, even if, you know, a lot may be happening behind the scenes. So really important communication, change management piece, really important.
And wow, that really brings us full circle from our first episode, Alyssa, on that trust factor and the organization extending the hand to the employees and wanting to go on this journey, that if you manage the expectations, that employee might grab your hand and walk with you, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. We've come full circle on this conversation. What an amazing talk with you today, Alyssa. This has been so enlightening and so fun. And I can't wait to share this with our listeners. So thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Once again, I'm Megan McCulloch. Thanks for joining us for this APQC podcast. Please go to apqc.org to learn more about our research. And we hope you have a great rest of your day.